The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good, wasn't it? Amen. You know, it's great, as I said a moment ago, have families to sing together, because it's nothing like serving the Lord together and being able to make an impression on your children's hearts when they're very young. It kind of sets the pattern, if you would please, for the direction that they'll step in the rest of the days of their life. Now, whether that would be singing, whether that would be helping out, doing various ministries or even ministry events or whatever the case may be, certainly that is a great, great blessing. Take your Bible, please. Now, this is the very first lesson on the Holy Spirit tonight. And so we're going to speak tonight on the Holy Spirit and God's Word. The Holy Spirit and God's Word. That's where it all begins. You'll see in John chapter 14 in verse 26, as I read just a moment ago, I'm going to reread it for reiteration's sake, but I want you to notice the wording, especially in the last portion of the verse here. The Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Now watch this. "He will teach you all things." So he is our private tutor. He will teach you all things. The Bible says, "And bring all things to your remembrance." So not only will he teach you all things, he's going to bring back to you those things he taught you. The Bible says, "Whatsoever I have said unto you." Now it's classified. So the Bible says that he's going to teach you all things. What things are they? Then he's going to bring back to your remembrance all things. What things are they? The Bible says, with our Lord speaking here, "Whatsoever I've said unto you." So the Holy Spirit is going to be that which is your private tutor. He is going to be that which is your reminder of the things that the Lord has said unto you. You know, nobody likes to be ignored. Some people, when they feel like they are ignored, they go through deep emotional hurt. I dare say tonight that there's been nobody down through the ages that's been more ignored than the Holy Spirit. Though ignored, he continues to work. Though ignored, he continues to help us. Though ignored, he will continue to do his job and bring conviction upon our heart, whereby we can understand what does not please God, and yes, joy to our heart, where we understand what does please God. I've heard not many sermons, honestly, about the Holy Spirit. I've not read many books. Now, I held up one tonight. There are a few out there, and there's a few good books on the Holy Spirit, but I've not read too many of them that are out there, because they just don't exist. There's only a few. But God does want us to know who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in her life. So in this series, my goal is to help you to know him. My goal is to help to enrich your life so that you can be able to understand the lessons that he wants to teach us by way of the Bible. Now, that being said, the Holy Spirit and the Bible, we understand that everything that God does through that which is the Word of God. Everything that God has ever done, everything that God will ever do is by his Word. He created the universe. How did he do that? He did it by his Word. Again and again in the book of Genesis, you see this, where the Bible says, and we find these words mentioned over and over again in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 14, where he's talking about the firmament that divides the heaven and the earth. You'll see this, that the Bible says that God said. So what did he do? He created it. You'll see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, where it talks about how the waters are abundantly and they move upon that which is the face of the earth, and you have the fowl that fly and you have the fish that are in that which is the waters. You'll see, he said, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, he said, "And God said." How do you create it? By his Word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24, where the Bible talks about the earth will bring forth the living creature after his kind, the cattle and the creeping thing and the beast after his own kind. Now, how did God do that? You'll see the very beginning of that verse, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24, "And God said." How did he create those things? By his Word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where the Bible talks about how he created man in his own image, and man was created to have dominion over that which is the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle that roam the earth and etc. How did he do that? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, he said, and God said. So he created it by his word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, God said, and behold, I have given every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is of the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it says to you, and it shall be for meat. So how did he do that? How did God create that? How did God give that to man? He did that by his word. So you'll note that all that God did do in the creation of all that is and all that ever will be was done by his word. By the way, when Jesus comes again and he's putting down the Antichrist, he's going to do it by his word. You see, the word is powerful. God's word will stand when all men fail. God's word will continue when all men decide to cease. I've said often, when man chooses to walk out, oftentimes God chooses to walk in. When Jesus comes again, I said he's going to put down the Antichrist by his word. You'll see that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, and then shall, it says, that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, now watch it now, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy, it says, with the brightness of his coming. So what's he going to do? He's going to consume, he's going to destroy that which is by the spirit of his mouth. What is that? That is the spoken word. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, the Bible says, when we find his name, you're going to find it there, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 30, he is called what? The Word of God. The Bible says, and he was clothed in the vesture, the Bible says, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. All right, so we understand that God has given us great emphasis on his word. Now, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, God's word was authored by the Spirit of God. You would not have a word of God today if it was not for the Holy Spirit. And so let's notice, if you will, please, how the Holy Spirit works with the Bible. Statement number one, the Word of God is eternal. You say, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look and see. Over in Psalm 119 verse 89, the Bible says, forever thy word, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, let that resonate with you just a little bit. So the word of God is settled in heaven. All right, so the word of God is settled in heaven along with the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The eternal heaven, if you would please, is where the eternal word is. The entire word was settled in heaven. Now think about this. So as the entire word was settled in heaven, you understand that the last verse of Revelation was settled in heaven before the first verse of Genesis was given to man. So it is good to know that the word of God is settled. The Word of God is not something that we're supposed to take away from. We're not supposed to add to it. It is settled. Some of the pseudo type of scholars will say this as they sit behind their desk and as they stand behind their chalkboards in their colleges and in their seminaries. What they do is they speak their heresies. They say this, well, God gave the Word to man and man chose how he would write it down. That is not true. These pseudo-scholars try to teach us that Paul wrote the words down according to his own thinking and according to his own style. That's wrong. They teach us that Peter had a certain style of writing and God gave him liberty to be able to write it how he wanted to write it. That's wrong. They teach that John had a style of writing and he wrote it the way he felt like it should have been written. That's wrong. You understand tonight that God did not make his word to fit man, but God made man to fit his word. We're not supposed to bring God down to our living. We're supposed to take our living up to God. So God's word is eternal. Statement number two, God gave Think about this. God gave his word to man. God gave his word to man. Now, where does the Holy Spirit come into this? Understand this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Oh, beware of the man that comes up with a new doctrine. Beware of the man that comes up with a new way to do things. Oh no, God's word being settled in heaven, been around much, much longer than man has ever been around. So it's not newness that God is using, but it's his word that is settled. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not, it says, in old time by the will of man. Think on it. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost moved upon man. He breathed that book, that Bible, into man. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. So Moses, if you will, as God spoke to Moses, Moses simply wrote it down. God spoke in the beginning. Moses wrote down in the beginning. Okay, there was nothing in the middle of that. Moses did not sit back, all of a sudden prop his feet up, ask for a Jewish cup of coffee, which would not be Maxwell, and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it down the way I think it ought to be taken down. No, 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 no. He did it exactly the way God told him to do it. You have a God-breathed book. All right, so Moses, as God spoke to Moses, then Moses wrote it down. He spoke in the beginning. Moses simply wrote in the beginning. When God spoke about that which is the creation, then man simply wrote it down. It's not a mechanical dictation. It is a verbal inspiration. There is a big difference, okay? All right, so understand tonight that the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God was given to us by God himself through the Holy Spirit, word for word, as God breathed it through the Holy Spirit for man to write it down. Now, by the way, they'll use, in some of the seminaries that's out there, they'll use what they call mechanical dictation. And by the way, that's invented by the liberals. That is to put doubt upon that which is the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. Whenever a liberal starts to talk about mechanical dictation, you know not long after that they're going to try and cast doubt on certain doctrines of the Bible. Now, can I tell you, all the doctrines of the Bible are important. If they were not important, God himself would have took them out. But if God thought they were so important to leave them in, then I think it's important for you and I to understand them the way that God gave them to us. The fact remains that God's word has been settled in heaven long before you and I or any type of biblical scholar professingly came along. So we understand this, that the word of God is eternal. We understand that God gave the word to man. We understand the Holy Spirit accompanies the Word of God. He accompanies the Word of God. Notice in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, it says, which are not reported unto you by them that are preached. Now watch this. The gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It says, which the angels desire to look into. All right, so you understand that as God sent the gospel down from heaven, who accompanied it? The Holy Ghost. All right, somebody says, well, I tell you what, you don't need the Holy Ghost in order to get saved. Yes, you do. Without the Holy Ghost, there can be no salvation. A person can go out and give the gospel, but unless the Holy Ghost uses the gospel, and by the way, notice this now, the Holy Ghost is not going to pick up anything that's impure. He's not going to pick up anything that's dirty. He's not going to use that. So he will use that which is the pure Word of God. The pure Word of God will bring conviction. You check your King James Bible out, I double dog dare you, and you're going to find out that the greatest revivals that ever took place in the world came underneath the preaching of that King James Bible. Now, if that be true, why would you want less power than more power? Why would you want to settle for something less when you've got more? I don't know about you, but when I sit down to eat, I like more. When I read a book, I want to get more. When I try to get wisdom, I want more wisdom, not less wisdom. Okay? So the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. And then here's what He does. He'll direct the believers to obey it. So as we hear the Word, now we're talking about our premise. We're talking about our foundation. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. So the man of God gets up, and what he does is he'll preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will confirm that in the believer's heart that hears it. And as the preacher preaches the Bible, the Holy Spirit will give it personal application. All right, so you say, well, how is it that God uses preaching? Here it is. Man of God gets up, opens the Bible, preaches the Word of God. As he preaches the Word of God, Holy Spirit says, okay, now watch this. Holy Spirit says, I have that for you. I have that for you. I have that for you. Now, he doesn't do that to everybody. Have you ever noticed that? Some people walk out of the service and boy, they're so glad they heard that sermon. Other people walk out, heard the same sermon, and all of a sudden they walk out with their head down and full of conviction. You know why? It is the Holy Spirit that would take the Word of God and would give personal application to the believer's heart. I've heard people say this to preachers now for generations. I've been preaching now for 36 years. But I've heard this now over my pathway, if you will, of coming up as a preacher all these many years. I've heard people say this. All of a sudden, the wife or the husband will say to the spouse, did you tell him? Did you tell him? How in the world did he know what was going on inside of her home? How in the world did he know what was going on inside of her home? Did you tell him? Nobody has to tell the preacher anything because it's the Holy Spirit that gives personal application. The preacher can get up and preach a certain direction, and the Holy Spirit may work on your heart slightly in a different direction using just a portion of the Scripture. Why? Because He loves you. He cares about you. He's trying to help you. Sometimes it might be a little unfair to go to a believer and say, well, this is what I got out of the message, and if you didn't get this out of the message, you must not be right with God. Sometimes God will speak to different believers different ways in accordance to what they need. God, through the Holy Spirit, will always give personal application. So we understand that the Holy Spirit and the Bible, the Holy Spirit received the Word of God. The Word of God, by the way, which was settled in heaven. The Holy Spirit spoke the Word of God that was already settled in heaven to the men of old to be able to write it down. As He spoke it, they wrote it down. So why? So that it could be taught, so it could be learned, so we could abide in it and it in us, whereby we can please God. Statement number next, the Holy Spirit quickens the Word of God. The Holy Spirit quickens the Word of God. John chapter 6 and verse 63 explains this very thing, that the Spirit, it is the Spirit, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The word quickeneth means to be made alive. It is the Spirit. Now, who quickens it? Who makes the Word of God real to you? Well, it's your husband. Well, it's your wife. Well, it's your children. No, no, no. It's the preacher. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, by the way, you have to pay attention for Him to quickeneth it inside of you. You don't pay attention on the cell phone, not paying attention. Writing a different note, writing a to-do list, where you have to go to the grocery store and get groceries after a church service, writing down all sorts of stuff, and you're not tuned in, then He cannot make the word. See, if you're tuned in and the Holy Spirit has a free course to your heart, that word of God will always do what it is sent out to do. And it will always quicken certain things in your life. Certain things will become alive. Oh, come on, that's just common sense. Now, isn't it? If you go to a basketball game and you don't pay attention, you're going to get much out of it? If you go to a football game and you don't pay attention, you're going to get much out of it? If you pay $150 per every 5 minutes to go take a class, and it's an hour-long class, and by the end of the class, you've just paid thousands and thousands of dollars to be tutored by that which is the wisest man in that particular type of subject matter, but you don't pay attention to it, you're going to get much out of it?
Right.
Now, I'm saying this. When you come to church, the best thing you could ever do as a believer, I'm telling you, the best thing you could ever do as a believer is when you come to church, if you're a sincere Christian, put away everything and give your total attention to God.
Amen.
Now, I love you, but I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you parents, you're not thinking too well, because here's what you do. You let your kid, a teenager especially, bring a cell phone to church, and they're on their cell phone while the Word of God is going out. And you expect them to have revival? My dear friend, it's not going to happen. Because they are distracted. In order for God to be able to reach their heart, they have to have their hearts paying attention to what God wants to do in their life. Now, by the way, that's for every single person in this room. Not just picking on the teenager. You know, you can snooze until I shout and hit the pulpit. Then you wake up, you think maybe something happened. You think we got attacked by Muslims or something. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what we do understand. We understand that the Holy Spirit, what He would do, the Bible says the Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It says the flesh profiteth nothing. Look at it. John chapter 6 and verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, and they are life. So how is it that you get life inside of you in your Christian life? You allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. The Holy Spirit makes the Bible come alive. You ever do this? When you're reading your Bible, and I'm talking about you're into reading your Bible, all of a sudden you see truths that you've never seen before, and they are almost revolutionary to you, even though the Bible's been around much, much longer than any man that's living today. And you've read it through countless of times, but it stuck out to you because you were zeroed in, and the Holy Spirit said, now that you're zeroed in, I'm ready to give you something you never saw before. Okay? And so most of the cults that are started or started by people that just read the Bible, but they do not study it in the presence of the author. If I was on a plane and I was sitting next to a fellow that authored a book, no doubt if I found out he authored the book that I just happened to be reading at that time, I would probably inquire of him, what were you thinking when you wrote the book? What does that line really mean? What was your full intention? And he begins to tell me exactly what he meant when he wrote that line, where he was when he wrote that line, why that line is so significant compared to the entire book. That's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that you can go to say, please help me understand the Bible. Amen. The author is available to teach us. We read that a few minutes ago. He is ready to teach us. He is ready for us to understand the full definition of everything that's written in the Bible. I dare say some Christians are going to get to heaven and they're going to say, God, I didn't know you meant that. God, I didn't know you really said that. God, I didn't know that that was so important to you. Please don't forget, your life on earth is very short. You're going to live 70. Maybe if you have a strong, if you would please, constitution, maybe you'll live to be in your 80s, or maybe, yes, today, with the various types of things that God gives us wisdom to be able and leads us to be able to do. You might live to be 100 or 100 plus, but that's relatively a short amount of time compared to eternity. So if I was going to take and try to be blessed for all eternity, then I think I would go to the one and the only one that could lead me in the right direction so that I can be blessed now and also for all eternity. Statement number next, the Holy Spirit teaches the deeper truths of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches the deeper truths of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them." Now let this verse sink in deep, "that love Him." And God said for those who are just kind of going along and they don't really love Him, He said, "I'm not going to give them the deeper things of God. I'm just not going to do it. But for those that love Him, for those, if you would please, the average person, the eye is not going to see it. The ear is not going to hear it." Oh, how many times do I, yes, I preach here or in a conference somewhere, and I pray before I go up, "Dear God, open their ears, help their hearts to be pliable, that they can receive the truths that's going to be preached tonight from the sermon that could change their life." How many times do I, yes, as pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, I look out and about and I see people that do not pay attention, and in the midst of delivering a sermon, here's what I think: wow, are they missing what God has for them for all eternity? You know, because the Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches the deeper things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "But God hath revealed," it says, "them unto us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searcheth out," watch, "or searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, I just really want to get deep with God." You can get as deep with God as you are yielded as a Christian to the Holy Spirit. You see, I think sometimes we miss it. You ever do this? Preacher says, "Turn in your Bible to such and such." And I believe I do walk with God. And I believe I do have a sense of the leading of the Holy Spirit as to the things that's taught and the very things that's preached from this pulpit. I look at it as a sacred desk. I look at it, as you would please, as being a very important thing. It's the calling of God on my life. And just as a doctor would take his practice of the utmost importance, so do you have a pastor that takes the preaching and the teaching of the Bible as the utmost importance. Because it changes a person's life for all eternity. To me, that's even more important than a doctor that's going to physically fix you up and you're going to live for 60 or 70 years or 80 years. You're going to die. But if I can take the eternal Word of God and I can teach you things, then you'll be rewarded according to your obedience to the Bible, not just here, but also in heaven. And you say, "Preacher, you're talking like you really believe it." And I'm talking like I really believe it. Because you understand this. You understand that God says, here's what He is showing us. The Spirit is the one that searcheth out all things. And then He says, the deep things of God. I think people are going to graduate, they're going to go to heaven, and they're so shallow-minded within the first minutes or hours, days or weeks in heaven, possibly years in heaven, they're going to be in shock trauma. Because they're going to say, "Man, I didn't know it was like this. Whoa, am I shocked? I didn't know it was like this." You know, preacher can get up, watch this, preacher can get up and preach a message. Holy Spirit gives personal application, and as the Holy Spirit gives personal application, you can walk out of here saying, "Wow, that was good. I was fed deeply." Submit to you, a person that is not fed deeply in any church service where the Bible is preached is somebody that is personally, on a day-to-day basis, not bathing themselves in the Word of God. Example, you can walk into a doctor's office and he can tell you how to be healed from cancer. You can choose to do it or not to do it based on what you believe. preacher gets up and he teaches how to be able to get the blessings of God. A person can choose to do it or not do it based on what they do believe. A person can come to church and look for a gold nugget, and in every single sermon they'll find a gold nugget only if they're walking with God and only if they're yielded to God and letting God be able to show them. Amen. Somebody says, and I'm not had anybody say this here, but somebody may say, they say, well, you know, I'm going to leave that church because after all, I'm not being fed. Not being fed is based on your hunger. My Bible says to the hungry, so every morsel, if you would please, everything is good if you're hungry. If you come hungry, you get fed. I've never seen a hungry man sit down beside the table and refuse food of any type, whether it be a hamburger or a steak. It just depends on how hungry they are. When a person comes to church, if they're really hungry, they get fed. If they come to church and they got so much of the world in them, so much of wickedness in them, so much of darkness in their life, and they come to church and they say, well, I didn't get anything out of it, it's because you don't have anything that is available inside of you to welcome it. If you're full of yourself, you'll be empty of Him. If you're full of Him, you'll be empty of yourself. All right, so we understand that the Holy Spirit, He not only teaches us, but He said in the Bible that He'll teach us what He meant when He said it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. There are so many things that you can glean from the Word of God underneath the leadership and the tutorship of the Holy Spirit. Every step that a Christian takes should be a step of obedience based on the Holy Spirit's leading. Let me give you this and I'm closing. Somebody comes and they say, well, I'll tell you what, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me, and there's clear evidence that what they're saying is contrary to the Bible. If what they're saying, the Holy Spirit is leading me, and there's clear evidence, I mean, it's right there. Anybody can understand it. Anybody can be able to comprehend it. And anybody can be able to walk away, no matter how old they are and who they are, and understand the clear teaching of the Bible. And a person says, well, I tell you what, I know God's Word says this, but I believe God's leading me this way. They're a liar. God will never lead anybody according to that which is not given in the Word of God or that is contrary to the Bible. Example, a lady says, well, I tell you what, I've been praying for a long time and I believe that God wants me to marry him. Well, I know he's unsaved. But I just really believe, I feel, is what they'll say, I feel that God wants me to marry them. Well, if you feel like God wants you to marry them and they're unsaved, then your feeling is wrong. Because God will never lead you to do something that He in His Word commands. And sometimes I think that we misunderstand this. Kenny, come up here and bring your Bible. Sometimes I think we misunderstand it completely. Here's what we do. Stand there and hold your Bible and look like you're intelligent. We travel down life's road. Here it is. I'm telling you how it is. We travel down life's road, and all of a sudden, somebody comes up with theology. It's not based on the Bible. It's their theology. So come on up here and bring your theology. And so, you know, and he tries to get me to take his theology, but it's not based on the Bible. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. If it sounds good, and we like his personality, and he is persuasive with his demeanor. I mean, he is somebody that he could get you to buy a car without a motor, believing that it runs. I mean, he is suave. I mean, he's good. And you know, he's convincingly telling me his theories and his philosophy and what he thinks. Can I tell you, the average kid that goes to college nowadays, they don't go according to a Bible. Here's what they do. They go according to a teacher. And then the teacher begins to confuse them about their faith. And before you know it, they begin to doubt the one that created all, who is God, and the one that gave us the Bible, and the one that would direct our paths through the Bible. And then they come up with stuff like this. Well, you know, I've got some doubts about that. I said Sunday night, it's not normally the what, it's normally the who that you're hanging around. Who hath hindered you? God wants you to follow him, and the devil sent a who inside of your life, and he begins to strategize and tries to convince and tries to get you not to be excited about God. And he tries to hold you back, and he tries to philosophize with you, and he really tries to get you to go the other way. And all the long, but what takes place is God wants you to follow him. That's what God wants.
Right.
Here's what you're going to find out too. The Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. He's not going to be jumping up and down saying, get over here. Get over. Now, you might have a preacher that jumps up and down. But as the preacher's jumping up and down, even God's not going to let the preacher get in his way. And he's going to use that word of God, that still, small voice, to be able to show you exactly what he wants you to do.
Right.
All right, thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I hope I didn't mess you tie up. Here's what it says. We see here that oftentimes somebody, as I said, will feel like, well, I need to do this. Oh, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. I'll close it down. But here's another one. Somebody says, well, I just don't feel like God wants me to tithe through the local church. And the only problem with that is they don't have a leg to stand on.
Amen.
Because God plainly instructs it ought to be done through the local church. Well, you just don't understand. That's just not my view. When you get to heaven, it will be. Now, you be careful that you don't do, I believe this with all my heart. I believe if people would stop trying to make their own God and just believe the only one that we have, and stop trying, well, I think I need to think on this deeply. You don't need to think on nothing deeply, my dear friend. You simply need to obey God.
Amen.
You know, isn't it amazing? God thought so much of us that he wrote, gave us a Bible that's written on the third grade level. Isn't that amazing? Somebody says, well, I want to read that NIV because after all, it's easier to understand. Check it out. Written on a seventh grade level. You can't understand this one. You dead sure not going to understand that one.
Amen.
The problem is not the understanding. The problem is the acceptance thereof. And the obedience to.
Amen.
How do we get it, preacher? You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you. We're starting off a brand new year. I wanted to wait until we started the brand new year to start this series because the very first lesson is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Instead of just reading it through, why don't you let God take the Word of God this year and give personal application? If you do that, God would change your life. Father, help us, I pray, would you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.